Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Christian.
And we are The Crime Couple. Today we'll be covering the murder of Ashkan Farsanyi. He was born New Year's Day, 1991, in Isfahan, Iran, to Nazreen Farsanyi and Hossein Rikthagarzadeh. At the age of 4, Ash's family moved to New Zealand as refugees. They settled in one of the most ethnically diverse places in the country, Mount Roskill, a working-class suburb 7 kilometers or 4.3 miles south of Auckland city center. Mount Roskill is home to a melting pot of races from Africa, the Middle East, India, China, Korea, the Philippines, Samoa, Tonga, and more, with over 60 languages spoken there. Ironically, in the 70s, Mount Roskill was the Bible Belt of Auckland and the face of conservative, white, working-class New Zealand, to the point that there were actually no pubs in town.
So it's like the south of New Zealand, kind of.
In the 70s, it was, I guess. I guess that there's still, like, not that many places to drink there, but it's weird because how did they... I don't know, you'll see.
It seems like even though there was no drinking, they were doing a lot of things in that area that they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah. Well, Ash used his mother's surname to make it easier for the New Zealanders, who are also known as Kiwis.
It's delicious.
Ash was a handsome, hard-working class clown who loved math and physics. He was popular with the ladies, liked to party, and was always thinking of ways to make money. And we'll post pictures on the website and on the Instagram, so you'll be able to see
all the people we're talking about with the very confusing names.
Yeah, the names I'm totally butchering. At 15, Ash and a friend started delivering taro, not the astrology cards, but a starchy root vegetable used mainly for its edible corms. It can be similar to a potato when cooked, but when we looked at the pictures, it looks almost like a stalk of celery, right?
Yeah, you said like celery, like almost like the red part of Swiss chard. I wouldn't think potato.
Well, I saw a picture and maybe it was like after it had been cooked because it's inedible if it's not cooked, so maybe what we saw the first time was raw, and yeah. Then when I saw the picture where it's more like a potato, it was more cooked.
So maybe the insides are very mushy, but I mean, if it's edible and you could put cheese and bacon and sour cream on it.
I guess it's pretty big down there in the South Pacific. Ash ended up studying dentistry at Otago University and after graduation began practicing children's dentistry. And he actually got into the dentist business because he was overcharged. So one of the articles I read, someone quoted him and said the reason that he got into dentistry was because he was overcharged and wanted to make good money.
That is a true hustler, to get finessed and be like, all right, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
He's like, okay, no, it's my turn. He also joined the Ponsonby Ponies Rugby League, and it was through this league that Ash became involved with the King Cobras. The King Cobras are New Zealand's oldest gang, which, to me, New Zealand having a gang is just so weird. Like, I didn't think there was enough people to have a gang in New Zealand.
But you gotta think that New Zealand is Australia's prison colony, so it's all of the people Australia didn't want on one island. So, to me, a gang seems like the natural progression for New Zealand.
I thought that Australia, to begin with, was the prison colony of Britain.
I know Australia was a prison colony of Britain, but I thought New Zealand is where they sent the unmentionables from Australia. So I think that is the third rung of people they didn't want in Britain.
Wow. Yikes. I'm so sorry to any New Zealand listeners. We still like you.
I know the natural New Zealanders are known to be great. But
actually, did you know there's more sheep on New Zealand than there are actual people?
When that comes back on Trivia Crack, I'll make sure to answer that correctly.
There's no predators there, so I guess that's why they're able to just live very happy lives over there.
Outside of the predator that axed this guy, there's a murderer running around.
The King Cobras were formed in the 1950s by Samoan immigrants with a formidable reputation built on drug dealing, extortion, kidnapping, and murder. Ash was good at boxing, and his close friend even said he was the only Arab dude that would hang out with the island boys. He was never afraid, and he never backed down from anything.
I mean, if you can fight Polynesians, you're crazy. Those are some big mamma jammas. Did you actually know that you're 53 times more likely to make the NFL if you're Polynesian than if you're white, black, Asian, whatever? Yeah, because it's that many of them are in the NFL that gives them that per capita rate. Like, they're the perfect build of, you know, strength, speed. Yeah, like Troy Polamalu, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay, this isn't the NFL podcast.
But all I'm saying is if he had the respect of Polynesian gangsters, you got my respect in terms of fighting.
We have a picture that we'll post again, and it's Ash actually boxing, and you can tell that he has a pretty big build. He looks like
he's pretty stocky.
Ash became close with Marvin Naiula, a member of the King Cobras known as Maunga, which is mountain in New Zealand, right? Because he has such a big frame. Honestly, all I picture is the Game of Thrones guy, so we'll post a picture of him as well. And he is big. He's a huge guy.
Yeah, he's built like most Polynesian dudes that I know from playing football. He is a stocky dude. His neck looks like a paint can.
Well, they were so close, in fact, that Marvin even spent last Christmas with the Farsoni family. Back in March of 2017, Ash and Marvin set up Pacific United Traders, a taro import business for the large Pacific Island community in Auckland. Most of the investment to start the business came from Lewis Carnican, a senior King Cobra who's now in prison, awaiting trial in relation to the manufacture and supply of methamphetamine and pseudoephedrine. So I feel like he's already getting involved with some pretty hardcore guys. When you're that close with those kinds of people, I feel like you're probably doing something shady, you know?
Yeah, I know you said he wasn't in the gang.
Yeah, I mean, in the articles that I read, everyone that was interviewed and that the people talked to, which I want to shout out Tony Wall and Tonika Tokolau, who were the main article writers, the national correspondent and the senior reporter, was a great article, very, very nicely written and a whirlwind of emotions. But they said that everyone said he wasn't a gang member. He wasn't part of the King Cobras. He was just affiliated with them. But what does that really even mean, you know?
Right, when you're getting financed by the gang and then doing some other stuff that we'll talk about later, how, you know, you talk like a gangster, act like a gangster. Maybe he just wasn't getting the tattoos, you know? But a lot of things that will happen later will fall in line.
When you're financed by a gang member, I feel like you're part of the gang then. That, to me, that means you are part of their gang. Even if the lawyer gets paid out from the cartels in Mexico or something, I feel like that lawyer is part of that gang now, you know?
Right. You're not a foot soldier, yeah, but you are you're the lawyer for the cartel. You are on their payroll. To me, that falls under the umbrella. I think, like you said, from what it sounds like from his family and his friends, he definitely was very charismatic, and people like that will always get the, oh, he wasn't a bad guy, he was a really good guy, he got caught up in bad stuff. You know, it just seems that the things that he did didn't align necessarily with how people felt about him, and you see that with guys that are super charismatic.
You can definitely tell in the pictures that he was good looking, and on top of that, in the articles that I read, it said that he was popular with the ladies, and as we'll find out, you know, that probably got him in trouble as well. Unfortunately, Pacific United Traders hit problems early on, as taro importing is highly competitive and buyers demand high quality fresh product. Wholesalers complained about the quality of Ash's product and claimed that their firm was selling their product to retailers at the same or even lower prices, leaving them with pretty big surpluses. So Ash decided to move to Fiji in July of 2017 to establish his own taro farm. And I read he was getting pretty heavy feedback from his parents and his family members in Mount Roskill that he shouldn't move there, he wouldn't know anyone. And I also read that he was pretty stubborn, and once he decided something, he didn't want to change his mind, so he went along with it.
Reminds me of a certain someone that I know.
You mean yourself?
Yes. I'm very determined.
Oh my gosh,
that's how I got you, babe.
Well, having his own farm would generate higher profits by cutting out the need for those complaining taro wholesalers.
Yeah, very. If mom ever taught me anything, it was to stay away from those pesky taro wholesalers. World renowned for their peskiness.
Ash ended up settling in Tabanui, an island 220 kilometers or 136 miles northeast of Suva, the capital of Fiji. I've never been to Fiji, and I thought it was literally one island with a beach and a resort. I had no idea, and I feel really stupid, but
at least you're not dumb and thought that Australia was that whole continent, because little do we know that Oceania is actually the continent that encompasses Australia, New Zealand, and the Fiji Islands. I am sorry to the person that I worked with in 2015 that I called an idiot. I was really rude, and I apologize.
Yeah, so if you did not know, are there seven continents?
Okay, Africa,
Asia,
Europe,
North America, South America, North America, Antarctica,
Oceania.
That's seven. I think that's it. Yeah, seven. Yeah, okay, cool. So the seventh continent is Oceania, and I always thought it was Australia.
If you played Risk as a kid, I think they don't say Oceania, they say Australia for that continent.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You never played Risk? It literally is like world domination. It's so much fun. You have little soldiers and cannons and cavalry, and you roll the dice. And
no,
you,
I've
like,
definitely never played
oh
that.
Oh my god, it's like Stratego on steroids. Please tell me you played Stratego.
No, I definitely.
I hate you. How
my family
are we
did
dating?
Not love me. My family did not love me. This is probably why I like true crime so much, because it's better than my own drama.
You have to realize my eldest sister is like all about strategy, and she's much older than me.
Oh my god, she's such a genius. It's honestly infuriating.
I mean, imagine having to live up with that constant bar being set.
It's honestly annoying just dating you, so I can't even imagine.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's annoying.
It's so annoying just dating you.
You knew what I meant.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
I looked up a brief history of Fiji, and basically, they have a population of just under a million, about 889,000. 54% of them are native Fijians, 38% Indo-Fijians, which I believe is Indonesian and Fijian?
I have no clue. Indo-Fijians? That sounds like an amazing restaurant. Come down to Indo-Fijian.
That does sound like it would be good food.
Right? Like, remember that? Was it Thai fried chicken we had on our anniversary?
It's like no, Thai. It was like a spicy Korean.
Oh, it was so good. It was this Korean fried chicken and this red sauce on rice. Unbelievable. I don't know why. I'm hungry. It's like 11 o'clock.
Oh, and 1%. Rotuman, which is another island there, that adds up to 93%. So the 7%
it's probably just the white people.
Well, and we said that the white New Zealanders, so I think that's probably like European and
yeah.
stuff.
Kind of like how if you're like South African and you're white, you're like, you're English. Like,
one time my friend had their family visiting and they had accents and they're like, yeah, we're from South Africa, but they were white. And I was like, what? And then another time, we had a freaking foreign exchange student. My friend's boyfriend at the time had a foreign exchange student, and she was from South Africa. And she was so pretty.
But why are you white?
I always saw her at the gym. She could do so much weight. I was always like, what is
that?
Her
people
name was
from other
Frankie.
Countries are in great shape. They smoke cigarettes, and they're just in better shape.
Right? When I went to Spain, they didn't have diet soda, but everyone smoked a cigarette.
They're just constantly doing cardio.
Yeah.
Playing soccer and doing cardio.
Walking everywhere. Fiji actually has over 300 islands, but only 110 are actually inhabited.
So they're just claiming a bunch of rocks out there in the ocean. Because even an island that's uninhabitable...
Yeah, why even
and there's
bother?
No volcano, you're just claiming a rock. You're like, that rock is ours, over there, ours, tag. Not yours, America. Don't build a Hilton there.
I wonder
what's an uninhabitable island, though? Are there just dragons there? That island, just snakes?
It's probably just too small to inhabit or the climate. I don't know, maybe climate or something, or...
What climate? If someone has built a house... in like Tickfall, Louisiana, they're gonna build a house if there's land anywhere on this earth. There's so many of us.
Yeah, I don't. That's a great. Honestly, what defines a country? Why do you claim those islands like that?
So no one else can take them.
But why? What's the point? Is it making you any money?
Refinance it. I don't know.
Refinance it with what?
Maybe there's diamonds in them rocks. I don't know.
That's true. A year after moving to Fiji, Ash was looking for land and met real estate agent Bulu Kewe on Tinder. They hit it off super quickly, started dating, and rented a flat together in Suva, which, remember, is the capital. A few months later, Bulu found out she was pregnant with a baby girl, and I actually read that they met in July and... she was pregnant by September, so...
She maybe had one period?
Oh, man.
Maybe two periods max.
I mean, you know, accidents happen. I'm not one to judge, but it does seem unfortunate, especially considering what happens.
Yeah, every child is a miracle, but their whole relationship is just very interesting. We'll just let the story unfold because there's more to his inner workings with women.
Very true. Bulu had been pursuing fashion designing with Ash's encouragement and had plans to move to Tavanuli with him once their baby arrived. On Monday, May 6, 2019, so pretty recent, Ash called Bulu to let her know that he was in Suva for meetings since she was out of town at her mom's. She was due in 2 weeks at this point, so they agreed to meet that Wednesday to go shopping for baby supplies. The article said baby supplies, which...
Rations. Rations for my child. Apple juice and formula.
I wish they would have been a little more specific, like diapers. Like, they were going to go shopping for diapers. They probably were shopping for like clothes or something, but still, it sounds so odd to be like, I need to go shop for baby supplies. I'm doing 2 weeks, but I need to go shop for baby supplies.
I'm just so dumbfounded at that, too. This guy doesn't seem the best all the way around, so he probably didn't have the crib and everything set up to go. He probably was just waiting for the baby to come out, and he's like, then I'll go to Babies R Us. Seems like that type of guy.
Well, Bulu thought it was strange that Ash missed their shopping date when Wednesday came around. She couldn't get a hold of him and thought that maybe he went out and was just hungover. Which, to me, such an odd excuse, but I guess when you have...
When you met the way that they met and their relationship has gone the way it's gone.
Well, I was gonna say, I guess when you, like, when someone's gone and, like, they're just not answering you, your mind just goes to those places, like, okay, well, what happened? You know, like, what's this, they're not gonna be like, oh, he's dead, you know?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
By Friday, though, she started to worry. That's 2 whole days.
12 hours. If that. 6.
Yeah, honestly, I think that maybe a day, not a day, I don't even think I could go a day without being like, something's wrong if I didn't talk to you.
Yeah, 24 hours, I mean, I agree that 24 whole hours and both of us, if you were missing, I was missing, both of our sisters' phones would be blown up, parents, like.
Well, I think even Crime Junkie, which obviously we love them, but I think that they said, even if we get in a super bad fight or whatever, something really bad happens, we wouldn't be gone for more than 24 hours.
Right. If my phone died, like something happened, mm-hmm. I would find a way to communicate or communicate with someone, you know, that one is just common courtesy, and two, if you have a significant other, you know, like that's how you operate, you know, especially, I mean, let alone.
Especially if you're about to have a kid, you're about right. to give birth, literally.
And she seems like in the time frame where, I mean,
she could have a healthy baby.
Yeah, she could. I mean, I wouldn't go healthy, but she could have a baby that will live, like, prematurely, you know, like she could go into labor for whatever reason. And
yeah, her anxiety was even heightened when she got an Instagram message from one of Ash's friends saying, sorry for your loss. That's terrifying. I can't even imagine being in that situation. Bulu was able to get in touch with Ash's mom via WhatsApp, who said, we're in Fiji and we have something to tell you.
It's such an ominous way to tell your son's baby mama that their son is dead. Like, wait for this, we have something to tell you.
Like, I mean, I don't think it's really easy to be like, hey, he's dead, but also that's a direct quote. The report I read was quoting the text message that was sent.
That seems like it's leading into like another episode. Wait to the next episode to hear what happens to Ashcan.
2,000 kilometers away, or 1,200 miles, back home in Mount Roskill, was Ash's childhood sweetheart and mother to his 3-year-old son. Her name was Anazi Saray, and their son was Cyrus. She had no idea that Ash had another family in Fiji. She believed that she was his partner. The article I read that said that Anazi and Bulu knew of each other, but they thought that the other was just a fling. They both thought that Ash was really with them, which is so unfortunate and so sad, because obviously he didn't think he was gonna die, but when you have kids involved and stuff like imagine cheating on your spouse and then they find out after you die. It's like Dead to Me on Netflix.
Yeah, but that's just an interesting situation to be in. That's, you kind of did those ladies wrong.
For sure, but that's, how do you grieve in that situation? Obviously, you're mad at them for cheating, but you're also mad and sad for dying, you know?
Yeah, that's a position that I will never put you in, but I don't know, this gentleman seems like a whole lot of this and that, but his relationship with these two women was
complicated.
Yeah.
Complicated, to say the least.
Yeah, very.
I feel like this would be a great movie.
No, I agree.
I was thinking about it as I was researching and writing. This is, especially if you read the article from The Stuff, I think it's called. I think it's stuff.co in New Zealand. And they do a great job in going back and forth and keeping you on your toes.
Called A Tale of Two Mothers.
Like we said, just don't cheat. Just go to therapy, do whatever you can, leave if you have to, but don't cheat. Don't put your kids through that, because what happens if you do die like this, you know?
You have two families finding out about each other, but from what it seems like too, it seems like Ashcan's, for like his side of the family, it seems like they know that he had this double family.
That's the thing that I was really confused about too, is there's so many questions that I have in that situation, because how did she get the number for the mom or whoever she spoke to, and did the parents know that that was real? Like, it's just confusing for sure. We're gonna take a turn here. Drug smugglers ship cocaine to Australia and New Zealand through the area using cruise ships, yachts, commercial flights, even shipping containers. Cocaine has become much more commonplace in the South Pacific. As much as no one wants to admit it, it kind of looks like Ash wanted in on part of the action. It seems like he could pretty easily smuggle cocaine through his taro exporting business. He put the word out that he was looking to buy in December of 2018. The same day that he was supposed to go shopping with Bulu, off Queens Road in the town of Lamai runs Kayla Road, a cul-de-sac northwest of downtown Suva. It's a known area where drug dealers live, and it was on this road at 1:30 p.m. that Ash exited the front passenger seat of a silver Prius that had four other men inside. He approached three men in a maroon Toyota Land Cruiser. The cocaine supplier hadn't arrived yet, but the men wanted to see Ash's money first. He opened his waistband showing $100 Fijian notes and insisted he would give him the remaining $40,000 after testing the merchandise. Once the supplier arrived with a backpack of cocaine and Ash was satisfied with the testing, he changed his story. He said he had less than what the supplier was asking for and wanted to negotiate down. The seller refused, though, and began walking away back to a taxi that was waiting for him. And this is where it seems like things happened really quickly. Everything just started to go south. The other thing that I do want to disclose before I report this is, in the article I read, how reliable are these neighbor sources? Because it's a known area where drug dealers live, they don't want to be seen as snitches. You know what I mean? So that's just something to keep in mind. Obviously, the source isn't named, so that does help. But how many houses are over there? It's really a gray area. According to eyewitness reports, a man from Ash's group stole the backpack and ran back to their car while being chased by the supplier. There was a scuffle inside the vehicle, but Ash and his crew managed to lose the supplier and his men during the ensuing car pursuit. They weren't all clear, though. The men with Ash saw that he was bleeding heavily from his left ribs. They dropped him off on the side of a road by Colonial War Memorial Hospital and quickly sped away. He was rushed inside but pronounced dead.
So they did get the cocaine, his group?
They did, but I read in the article that they dropped it off with a bank officer, of all people.
They dropped the cocaine off of the bank officer?
Yeah, which was not even... like, now that I think about it, that... there was no asterisk next to that. They just literally said that in the article and just left it there. They didn't have any elaboration or anything.
Do you, like, in those kind of countries, do you just, like, drop off cocaine for money?
Or
do
they? Obviously, like, get... I mean, the bank officer had to have been, like, part of that group.
I'm just so confused that it just adds no context. Like, did they surrender the cocaine? Like, were they trying to get paid? You went through all that trouble and your friend got stabbed. At the very least, I'd want to get paid.
Well, and two, how were Ash and these guys related? Because there's four other people in that car.
I would highly imagine they're King Cobras. How could they not be? I mean,
But King Cobra's in New Zealand.
Yeah, but their reach. I mean, let's be honest. If he's getting financed by the gang and he's moving to another country to, you know, increase his business, I would highly imagine that he would go there knowing that he has some support from that gang.
I actually read an article too that the guy who brought Ash in from the sidewalk into the hospital while he was like bleeding out on him, he called out the guys that dropped him off and was like, "What happened?" And you know, they didn't obviously say, "Oh, he just got stabbed from a drug deal gone bad," but they said something along the lines of, "Oh, it was an accident." But if that was the case, then even the security guard was like, "Why aren't you coming in with him then?"
Right. And I mean, just... like, do you really expect them to be chipper about what actually happened?
Well, that's a good point. We'll totally address that. After receiving that WhatsApp message, Bulu realized that Ash really was dead. That Friday was the first time she met his parents. They cried and held her pregnant belly with the comforting thought that a little Ash would be here soon. She passed by Unezi in the morgue hallway on the way to see Ash's body. But to make a bad situation even worse, seeing Ash's body like that would be Bulu's last. His funeral was held in Auckland, and Bulu's doctors wouldn't clear her for the flight as she was too far along in the pregnancy.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
It's just, that's just, you know.
It's like two punches, like, bam, second family, bam, can't even see my husband, slash.
In the article, it said that she had plans to get married in September, and at this point, it was May.
Okay, so, like, 2 quarters away.
Yeah, which is sad. Among those mourning Ash were several members of the King Cobras, his family, his oldest mates, and Unezi. She spoke at the service mentioning her sons, saying everyone that looks like Cyrus will see Ash. He has his ambition in his heart. For the rest of my life, for the rest of ours, I will love you.
Hopefully she raises him to be better with women. Jab, but...
I mean, hopefully he respects women more than that, I will say that.
I mean, very low bar set by his dad, so...
On May 22nd, 2019, exactly 2 weeks after Ash's death, Bulu went into labor. She feared for the worst when doctors at the Lautoka Hospital couldn't feel the baby's heartbeat and she wasn't moving. However, thankfully, Bulu gave birth to a healthy baby girl 2 hours after arriving at the hospital. One day, Bulu will tell her baby girl Maya about her father. She says, quote, "That's one of the hardest things. What am I going to tell her? All I can think about is how her father worked so hard. He always prioritized his son and his family." So, the weird thing is that 2 men surrendered to the Nambua police station for Ash's death. There were some conflicting reports in the articles that I read, but it seems like the most recent article stated that 1 man was charged with murder while the other 2 guys that surrendered released.
So it seems like they maybe like snitched on him and got... If I'm just trying to paint this situation in my head, that they were involved criminally, like they either saw it or were in the car, and they're snitching to get their own personal liability with the police, you know, trying to get a plea deal.
We also have to think there was 4 other guys besides Ash in their car, and then there was 3 plus the supplier and the other one. So that's a total of 8 people who witnessed this, plus all the neighbors.
Yeah, and this happened at 1:30. Remember what you said about the neighborhood? Yeah, the sources may be unreliable, but it being 1:30 in the afternoon, like anyone who was outside, mm-hmm. and for them... Also, if a taxi pulled up and got the drug dealer,
that's another taxi was a witness too, but maybe the taxi was like part of a gang or something. Maybe they...
Gang of taxi drivers.
Usually they're paid off, you know?
I'm not very familiar with the paying off of people, but maybe you're past...
The only reason that I knew that is because my friend went to Mexico and she said that the taxi drivers like offered drugs to the passengers sometimes if they're part of the cartel, which she did. She got offered drugs, which... I don't know if she took them or not. Hopefully she didn't, but...
Which one of your friends was it?
She shall remain nameless. The man that was charged with Ash's murder is 28-year-old Rusiade Rawalui. Rusiade's brother was actually there the day that Ash was murdered. I don't know how he was involved. That kind of means that he has to either be the cocaine supplier or one of the guys that surrendered, right? Yeah. I mean...
He just happened to be in the neighborhood.
So he's either the drug dealer or he snitched on his brother. No, the two, because he's on the supplier side. I mean, I don't know. Also very strange. It said that his lawyer recommended he didn't talk, but he did anyways. And he said that he thinks the police are just trying to close the case quickly and find blame on someone. It's a little unclear, but that's the case.
Maybe the Cobras have more to do with them snitching. Maybe they were running their own. Because he definitely had, I mean, for all intents and purposes, people liked him, you know, the drug cart, the gang probably liked him. He seemed, you know, like a cool guy for them. But maybe they were running their own operations in Fiji and they were starting to squeeze people down and, you know, rather be with the police than be dead.
Yeah, it would be interesting to find out how the supplier... I don't know. They said drug lords ship to Australia and to that area. So I wonder who the supplier was involved with.
Well, I mean, for the amount of cocaine that he was buying, I imagine the supplier really was minimal, like, in that. I think it had to do more with the people that were in the Land Cruiser and the people that were in the Prius.
It is a good question, too, is were the people in the car really trustworthy? Were they the ones that stabbed him? Who knows, you know?
Maybe they were trying to get a bigger cut and they just decided, hey, let me just stab him and there's one less person to pay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a good question, but we won't know.
The thing is, this is just so recent and things are coming out, and us being in America, and there, I'm not sure with the Fijian judicial system how that goes, but, you know, things aren't as publicized over there as they are here, so who knows how much more we'll be able to get.
Well, let us know your thoughts on the case on our social media and our website, anywhere you can.
Hey, let us know if you guys have any theories. I know this one's kind of up in the air. There's no real... Obviously, the guy confessed to the murder, but there just seems like there's so many moving parts to this that I'm not really sure who did it, especially with the whole his King Cobra involvement and his, like, sudden willingness to, like, get into the cocaine game.
Well, and on top of that, he had two... women, I mean, God forbid they did anything, but who knows, maybe they set him up.
Yeah, I mean,
it's unlikely.
There's definitely motive.
That's what I'm...
You'd kill me if I had another family.
I would kill you.
Which is why I'm so surprised that you sympathize with this guy so much. I feel like, is he cute or something? I don't know.
No, it's not that I think he's cute. I mean, he's just, no one deserves to die like that, you know? Yeah,
but I feel like there's people who are, like, more deserving to die than less deserving, you know? Like, I feel like there's definitely a continuum of...
He did get himself involved in very heavy, high-profile...
High risk.
Yeah, high risk lifestyle for sure. But I guess we'll never really know.
I mean, the risk aside, I mean, the whole having a second family is kind of... Ooh, just kind of stings.
Well, anyways, let us know what you think. Please share us. Give us a review. Subscribe. Sign up for our newsletters. We also have Patreon, which we're really excited to get better. We want to know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I think the $2 Patreon is the once-a-month mini-sode. I think the $5 is the once-a-month full episode. And I think the $10 is all three. I think the 5 has also the mini as well. But I think 10 is 2, 5, and then as well some bonus content and some a little t-shirt or a little gift. I think we haven't decided yet.
Yeah, so just go check it out. It would be awesome if you did subscribe and do all of that.
Even if you don't subscribe, give us a comment because we really just want to get better. And even if you run us through the mud, just make sure it is constructive so that way we can improve.
We will see you guys next week with our newest episode.
Episode 2. We haven't titled it yet.
All right. See you guys then.